the style characteristics of the Viennese operetta is a very, it's a broad question, because so much is involved. It's not only the music, of course, it's the dialogue as well, and it's also the dancing, the brilliance of it, the lightness of it, the elegance of it. There has to be done the tastefulness. I guess probably the taste is the very essence of this style, because one walks very thin line, and if one does a little too much of the vulgarity, which is definitely there, there are a few moments in Die Fledermaus, like when, for example, the director of the prison, Frank, and Alfred, are dancing there, yarari, yarari. I simply ask the orchestra and them to sing and the orchestra to play in a vulgar way. It needs that exaggeration. And there are exaggerated moments. But one has to be very careful how often one can use it. Purely in musical terms, of course, the style is, there is a famous Viennese element of the waltz, where there is always the arguments. If you ask any player of the Vienna Philharmonic, they'll always have a different take on it. One will say that, well, the second beat comes sooner. The other will say, no, it's the third beat that really has to come later, never mind the second. And then someone else will come, one of the famous Viennese Austrian conductors, and they will explain it totally differently. In fact, one of our artist, one of our singers, Peter Edelmann, who is from Vienna, and he is Eisenstein, he told me the story about Viennese conductor Heinrich Hollreiser, who was conducting the Strauss, Johann Strauss program with one of the Japanese orchestras in Tokyo, and he was explaining to them how the Viennese waltz works. And he said to them, he said, there is one, two, and maybe three.
I would love for this whole thing to be much more expansive.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So this is, oh, Dr. Falk, I have lived 40 of my 18 years. I am bored. Come closer. Bored. Come closer. You know, so he grabs you. I cannot even force a smile. Look.
Yeah. Okay.
So really come close now. So because he's very physical.
Yeah.
He's very physical.
Okay.
Okay. And then, but you do it not negatively.
No.
You do it like Paul, if I can borrow it. You do like a friend. Like you know what is the problem? I cannot even force a smile. You see the difference between an opera, so-called, and an operetta, is the fact that in an opera, the composer, like Puccini and Wagner and Mozart, they have decided that rhythm and the timing, it's all in the music. But in the dialogue, it's all up to the director. The dynamics, the rhythm, the delivery, all of that, the director has to set the pace, to set the dynamics. Is it going to be something internal, something external? Is it going to be slower or faster? Whereas actually in opera, the composer has decided all those elements. All the dynamics, all the rhythms, everything is decided by the composer. So he's given you all the clues. But something like an operetta, and the dialogue especially, it's the director's responsibility with the artist to really set the rhythm and set the dynamic of the dialogue, work for the punchlines, and then find the comical elements which need to be highlighted for the audience, you know, and underlined or underscored and all. So it's much more delicate and it's much more time consuming. And then a little more. If you know what you can do that. You know what you can do.
You know? I have to learn that.
You see what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
It says and then get up and leave the theater. That's easy.
Okay.
It's that kind of the charming personality.
Yeah.
And he's so spoiled. He's used to his ways constantly.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Valerie, you want with
that? No, excellent. Yeah. The other Russian thing you can do, which will drive the native speakers of German up the wall with some Russian, make an open air.
The Fledermaus.
Fledermaus.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because Russian doesn't have that A.
So ah, okay. Fledermaus.
The Fledermaus.
Okay.
And then also, we're going to do.
In this case, I'm not somebody who supports superimposing our vision on the piece. With masterpieces, I think they speak for themselves. I mean, we honestly interpret them, I think, both as a stage director or as a conductor. We should not be superimposing the so-called concepts and things like that. However, in the case of this Viennese waltzes, polkas, or operetta in this case, we have to do something, because if we play the music just straight the way it's on the page, it will sound dull. Because the music is very beautiful, but this is not an ultimate masterpiece like Verdi's Otello, or Wagner's Tristan, or a Beethoven symphony. But it can be a lot of fun, and it can be very delightful if one brings the imagination and the musical imagination and plays with it.
It's a delicious, wonderful classic operetta. Gorgeous music, difficult to sing. You know, I had a pleasure of doing it with people like John Sutherland and Elizabeth Söderström, and really major, major opera stars, because it is very demanding. Paul, you're very charming, of course. You are like the master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
The conférencier, who has organized everything. And also, as he comes in, you could, in pantomime, ladies and gentlemen, please go play gamble, drink, make love, whatever you want to. So these are all your guests.
A lot of people on stage.
And they're very charming, because you are really the head of the party, you know, so you've organized that. And so very kind, and then you greeted them, oh, thank you for coming, thank you for coming. Now please go drink something, eat something, make love, whatever you want. Okay, good.
Often arias are just, or duets are just feelings. So the words are, you know, they're repeating and everything. Nothing's repeating there. So it's the story to be told, it's like dialogue, continuing dialogue with the support of the music. And it should be light, but carrying over the quite big orchestra. It's often people think, yeah, operetta is light music, and it's just like musical, and in musical they have micros, you know. So the orchestra is much stronger than in a Rossini, Donizetti, or Mozart opera. It's very hard. The audience always think, oh, he's nice, he talks, he dances, he sings, and hop, 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 and it looks so easy, but it's very hard work.
Okay, thank you very much.
This is my fourth production. I've had to build it up. I've had time to build it up. I remember the first time it was very tough, and I told them, look, I sing two Traviatas for one Rosalinda. And it's taken some time to really start enjoying also the tougher parts, like banging all those high C's and D's, and at the same time the low C's. So it's a big tessitura, and it's a rather heavy orchestra, though we have Valeri Rifkin. He's wonderful. So I trust in him. I would not want to do a Rosalinda with a conductor I wouldn't be trusting. I think it would be like ice skating with weights on your feet.
This story of the Fledermaus is just about the revenge of Dr. Falke on Mr. Eisenstein, his friend, because he made a fool of him some years ago at this masquerade ball, and he said, "I will drive you home," and Falke was very drunken, And so he never arrived at home because he dumped me, Falke, on a park bench. And I was sleeping my, you know, alcohol. And I awake in the morning, and all the Sunday promenaders, they watch me, and I had to walk all the way home as a in my costume as a bat. So everybody was laughing at me. So, and it was very embarrassing for Falke. So he said, one day I will have an idea how I can just do a funny, of course, with a lot of humor, revenge. And the whole story is about that. So all main characters are just like the marionettes of Falke, and Falke is the director.
Eisenstein is happy with his wife, but he's a little bored, I think, in life. And the operetta starts with a dispute with Dr. Blind, so he comes in and tells his wife, Rosalinda, that he has to go to jail instead of 3 days, 5 days more, so 8 days. And this is the problem, and this is why he's so upset in the first act, until Dr. Falke, his best friend, comes in, a notary, and tells him, I invite you to a magnificent party tonight. And he said, are you crazy? I have to go to jail in an hour. But Falke tries in the duet to get him around, and he succeeds. And he, in the second act, he's going to the party. And his character, he's flirting around and enjoying himself so much that he forgets everything else. He forgets his prison and everything, and he enjoys life very much. He's a very sympathetic character, I think, so the people can identify with him very much.
I had a very dull picture of hers, and fortunately, Lossie has helped me a great deal on that.
Oh, good mercy, what misery, how dreadful, and the calamity, how dreadful, and the calamity, how goodness gracious me.
She was a singer, as her lover was, or is, still is. So she can act, and she is interesting. And she's put that whole artistic life down in order to be a good housewife. Now that gives the whole thing a new twist, right? Now all of a sudden in the second act she can live it out again, and in the third act she can be a drama queen. I like it. All of it, I like her much more since I worked with Lotfi.
I thought perhaps that you would let's change positions.
Change them.
love.
You count the beating of my heart, and by the clicking of your clock,
I also like acting with Peter. He's so much fun. And I don't know if you know, with Peter Edelman, that was my first Rosalinda I did in Munich at the Gärtnerplatztheater, where I did my beginner's contract. And he was my Eisenstein already then. And it's fun going back to working with the same colleagues. You feel I'm not as much ashamed. I can open much easier. And he's such a nice and very calm person. And Paul, get to know him too, his brother, I didn't know him before. It's nice, also speak a little German, though I'm Swiss. And sometimes they even speak Swiss German with me, to make me feel at home, maybe.
To work with my brother is a big pleasure for me. It was always, and now we are already working together for 13 years. Of course, it's not easy to find a repertoire together. We are both baritones. Would be much better if I'm a tenor and he's a baritone, so we can sell it much better.
Prince Orlovsky is a spoiled prince, a Russian spoiled prince, and I was spoiled as a child, so I can easily relate to this character, although I'm not quite bored yet with life at the age of 38. He's a young prince who's done everything in life and is just dying to be entertained. And Falca, the master of ceremonies in Act Two, has decided to put on this huge show for me using different characters who are pretending to be who they are not. So at first I'm very unimpressed, and eventually I finally, at the end of the operetta, burst out laughing. And it's the first time, it's been in years, that I've actually laughed. And so it starts like a volcano, and the eruption continues. So I'm going to have a coaching on that with Lotfi, our director.
A toast to King Champagne!
Champagne!
countertenor is a man who sings in a highly developed falsetto or head register. And most men, singers or non-singers, have some sort of falsetto voice. If you go to a football or a baseball game and you hear someone go, "Woo!" that is a falsetto voice. But of course, because singing in a female register is not something that people think of as they're growing up as, you know, possible occupation choice, it's something that has not flourished so much. Although in the recent 15 years, I think the countertenor has enjoyed a resurgence, and it's enjoyed that resurgence because it's riding the wave of the Baroque resurgence.
Okay, so this is Champagne. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, up, down, up, down, through the so really awesome.
What Strauss is doing, communicating different emotions, different dramatic situations through the use of different dance rhythms and genre. So the choreographer in this has a rather important job.
Step, tap, step, tap, step, tap, step, tap. But even if you want, you can go forward, back, forward, back. And all we really see is this. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Step, tap, back, tap, forward, back and rap. Beautiful. Do that for me again.
Yeah. Peggy is a very talented, very imaginative ballet director, choreographer, and I think she brought a lot of wonderful things. There were some things where she would like to do maybe something else, like to have four extra measures, and I said, sorry, that unfortunately in this case it will not work, and she accepted that, of course, as well. So there is, it's a two-way street always with anybody, with a stage director, with singers as well. But when the ballet is on such a high level and the dancers are excellent and very cooperative, and Peggy certainly put a lot of imagination into it, I think you'll see it even during the Rosalinda's Charters. What the dancers do there is quite sensational.